Hey guys, what's going on? Solid Monster here, starting a little bit differently tonight. I just wanted to talk about something a little bit different here at the beginning, something that I hate talking about. But you know, I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and you hear me sometimes talk about, like, I've been doing this for X number of years, and you know, a lot of you have been listening to me since day one, and it goes back a long way. But I am far from the only person to, you know, be doing wrestling podcasting from day one. I'm not a day one guy. I've been doing this for a long time, but there are people who have been doing this longer than me. And along the way, you get to make friends with people. You kind of discovered that there are other like-minded people out there who are from the same place, share your same affinity for the Mets, or other, you know, whatever hobbies or whatever it may be. And you make friends with people. And some of these people you get to meet in person, and some of these people you just interact with online. And, you know, Don Tony and Kevin Castle are two of those people. Yeah, I kind of look at them as the OGs. They've been around for a very long time, doing shows together, doing shows apart, and going back to the Minority Report days and the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Many of the people who are here on this channel now probably discovered me, and maybe even them, through TV Tracks, you know, many years ago, because all of our content was sort of pulled together on there and shared together. And you know, then, you know, along the way, you sort of find out that something very shitty has happened, and it hits you like a punch to the gut. And so that was the news that I got a few hours ago when I found out that Kevin Castle had passed away earlier today. I spoke to his brother, John. He was the one who kind of filled me in on what happened, and I was shell-shocked. In a word, I didn't really have any words. I didn't really know what to say. I know that Kev had talked about having some health issues recently online. I was not aware of how serious it was. He was a very private person when it came to that stuff. A lot of people, I don't think, quite knew exactly how serious it was. And it's one of these things where it's like, here today, gone tomorrow. You know, I would interact with him online. I know he was a fan of my work. I was a fan of his work. I was on his show many years ago. You know, some fond memories of that. Sometimes we would interact about things completely unrelated to wrestling. Again, it could be the Mets. It could be animals. He was a big animal lover. You know, he was always helping stray cats, and which is something I actually think says a lot about a person as far as how they treat animals. I think it really does speak to the kind of person that they are. So we kind of had that in common as well. He was a Brooklyn guy. You know, he would, you know, what he sort of did by day was booking musical acts at various, you know, venues all throughout the city. And he did that for decades. And, you know, one of my great regrets is that I never had the chance to kind of link up with him in person. We always talked about maybe me stopping by Lucky 13 Saloon in Brooklyn and, you know, kind of hanging out. But because I've had the chance to meet so many people who were literally related to him, friendly with him, part of that kind of circle of podcasters. But we were just never able to actually, you know, link up in person. And that's one of my great regrets. Yeah, the thing about Kev, you know, he was very passionate about this, as I think we all are. And, you know, when you build up an audience, as he did and as I've been able to do, you know, you have a lot of people who share a lot of the same thoughts and opinions. And even if you don't, I mean, that's okay. But he was a very opinionated guy, and we could have conversations or discussions, a lot of things we would agree on, some things we didn't agree on, but you know, it never devolved into a shouting match or insults or anger or so much of that stuff that you see on social media. And that was one of the things that I enjoyed about my interactions with him, and one of the things that I'll miss. I still kind of am at a loss. I really don't know, you know, what else to say, because this is still very fresh. The one thing I definitely want to say, I want to send my condolences to his family and friends and fans, you know, people who listen to his shows. His brother John knows how I feel. His partner in crime, Don Tony, I can't imagine what he's going through right now. I mean, the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show for so many Monday nights for so many years, you know, was an institution in this community. And now I can't imagine what, you know, he's going through right now. The Wrestling Soup guys, Mish, Joey. So again, my heart goes out to everybody who knew him, everybody who was friendly with him. And one of a kind. And may he rest in peace. He will certainly not be forgotten. But there is definitely going to be a hole in this community that cannot be filled. So I just wanted to open the show because I do know there were a lot of people who knew Kevin, you know, knew of him maybe from online. Now the news is starting to spread and get out. So I just wanted to address that at the top of the show here, because as I was getting ready to watch Raw tonight, that's really around that time is when I found out. Then I talked to his brother, and it was just, it's not the sort of thing that you expect, you know. And it makes you think, frankly, it makes you think about your own mortality. You know, even though he was a little bit older than me, but even still, it makes you take a step back. And sort of appreciate what you have, because there's no guarantee that it'll be there tomorrow. So, again, my condolences to his friends and family. Rest in peace, Kev. You will certainly be missed. Tonight was Monday Night Raw. It was the, I guess you would say, the penultimate edition of Monday Night Raw here before WrestleMania. You would never know it. Watching this show tonight, this was, I thought this was as lifeless an episode of TV as they have done during this build to WrestleMania. Closing segment, and really the big segment that was built up for the close of the show, was built around Paul Heyman. And this is stemming from the segment that we had last week where we found out what the favor was that CM Punk was owed by Paul Heyman. We finally found out what it was. Paul Heyman is going to walk CM Punk to the ring, be his wise man, and be in his corner for his very first WrestleMania main event. And there was no Roman Reigns on the show tonight, but we did get Paul Heyman, we did get Seth Rollins, we did get CM Punk. It was very telling at the very end when Punk and Rollins were brawling just how quiet the crowd was. Because you would think they would be really up for that. This is one of the WrestleMania main events, and they really weren't. But the big twist at the end was Rollins had the chance to give Heyman a stomp after he stomped Punk, and he stomped short, I guess you might say. And then he leaned down at Heyman and told him, "Now you owe me a favor." And that's how the show went off the air. And I was already kind of figuring that Rollins was the favorite going into this pay-per-view, or PLE, whatever you want to call it. Just by virtue of the other two sort of canceling each other out, Rollins may end up being the beneficiary of that. And I feel even more strongly about that now, where Rollins tells him, you know, now you owe me a favor. And that may well be what the favor is. Again, less so a matter of Heyman helping Rollins as much as stuff goes down during that triple threat match where Heyman refuses to help either Roman Reigns or CM Punk. Yeah, because he's pulled in both directions, and so Rollins ends up being the beneficiary of that. I feel even more strongly about that now than I did before. We had a World Tag Team title match on this show that was DEAD dead. We had a Women's Intercontinental title match that was actually very good. Easily the best match on the show. We had a segment with Gunther and Jey Uso in the follow-up to Gunther murdering Jimmy Uso on the show last week. And I enjoyed this segment as well. I did not enjoy the crowd, and I'll tell you why that is. No Cody Rhodes, no John Cena. We knew John Cena wasn't scheduled to be there, but no Cody Rhodes on the show tonight. We got a music video, basically. So neither participant in the Night 2 WrestleMania main event was actually on the show tonight. If I had to sum this up in one way, it was a show that happened. That was Raw tonight. And this is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday, April 7th, 2025. I am the Solid Monster. Thank you for being with me today. Very tired after the late night last night. So I appreciate you hanging out with me here tonight. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. As you guys know, I will be hanging out with you and reading those messages a little bit later on in the stream. So looking forward to that. Let's take it from the top here. And they opened the show tonight with Adam Pearce, the Raw General Manager. He was in the ring to introduce the Women's World Champion, Io Sky. The title was on a podium in the ring. But he introduced Io Sky to the ring. And that was followed by Bianca Belair and then followed by Rhea Ripley. And Adam Pearce had a little faux pas here. Because when he introduced Rhea Ripley to the ring, I want to make sure I get this quote right. He said, representing the Judgment Day. And I sat here and I thought to myself, boy, did I miss an important segment on last week's show? Was there something I missed out on Monday night last week that I'm not aware of? And then Michael Cole quickly on commentary, corrected him and said that, in fact, Rhea Ripley has not been a part of the Judgment Day now for a very long time. So Pierce began by taking responsibility for what happened last week. Says, it's my fault. You know, Bianca, I put you in that position and the referee in that match. And I'll take responsibility for everything. And then he said, I was wrong to think that any of you could actually handle things like professionals. And he then announced that to right the wrong, he's going to make the WWE Women's World Championship match at WrestleMania a triple threat match. Io Sky will defend her title against Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. Color me shocked. This is the outcome we knew was coming. There was an off chance that maybe they would be a little creative with it. Do Bianca and Io on night one. The winner defends against Rhea on night two. They opted not to do that. So we are getting the triple threat match. He presented a contract for everybody to sign. And Bianca had something to say. And she was not upset. She was not upset that Adam Pearce has now added another challenger to this match. Quite the contrary. She said normally she would be mad that Rhea just walked in, did whatever she wanted, and now she's been added to the match. These days, though, she's not mad because she's not scared of her. And she said that she will walk out of WrestleMania as the new women's champion and will go through Rhea to get it. And she actually wants her in the match. She says, I want you in the match. Right? The anger among all of these women is so high, the tension is so high, they actually want to beat the crap out of each other. So they signed the contract, Rhea started talking, and Bianca told her to shut up. Crowd started booing Bianca. And Bianca pushed the contract into Ripley's chest, told her to sign it. Ripley threw the contract back at Bianca. Io tried to intervene here, and she got pushed away. Again, like the third wheel, she got pushed away. She said, yeah, fuck this. She went to go leave the ring. And Pierce stopped her after she got out on the apron and was like, you got to sign the contract first. And the way this ended was she hit a springboard drop kick that sent Rhea into Bianca before signing the contract. And so Io Sky was left standing. Rhea and Bianca were left laying at the end of this. This was as predictable can be. We all knew that this is where things were going to end up. That's where we are now. We have a triple threat of WrestleMania. I don't know if it's going to be night one or night two. But as far as setting up the match, pretty paint-by-number stuff here. Really not much else to say about this. This was a very basic segment, very basic opening here to this show. Now, speaking of Adam Pearce making matches, earlier today he made the announcement on social media. And this, again, very predictable. We could see where this was going. But now it is official. At WrestleMania, Bron Breakker is going to defend the Intercontinental title in a fatal four-way match, and he is going to be defending that championship against Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio. So that was made official earlier today. Now we go to the Judgment Day clubhouse in the back, and Balor was pleased about getting the title match, and he was talking to Dominic and Liv Morgan, Raquel, Carlito, they were all there. Balor said he didn't know Dom also wanted a shot at the title, and he said, hey, the more the merrier. So Liv Morgan stepped up and said, that's what I thought when I got Adam Pearce to add him to that match. And Balor didn't look very pleased, but he claimed it was cool. He claimed he didn't mind. Balor said people say Dom doesn't have what it takes to win at WrestleMania because he's not tough enough. They say that he lacks the killer instinct. They say he's a loser. So Balor said Dom gets to prove them all wrong when he faces Penta all by himself later tonight. And Balor told Dom he believes in him. He wished him well. After Balor left, Dom questioned what he was going to do. Carlito said he would have Dom's back. And he also said, you know, the Mall of America is the biggest mall in the United States. And he was there earlier in the day because they were in Minneapolis. So he went to the Mall of America, the site of the very first Monday Nitro. Again, very basic setup here to this match. They've been kind of building tension between all of these men over the last several weeks. And so Adam Pearce just went and made it official. So not much else to say. We're going to see a lot of that Judgment Day drama play out during that match. I wouldn't rule out a Dominic win at WrestleMania. I wouldn't say that, you know, automatically it's going to be Penta, you know, who's going to walk out or Braun's going to retain. Balor's not going to win. I would be shocked if Balor walked out with that belt. But I would not rule out Dom. We had Lyra Valkyria. Speaking of intercontinental titles, Lyra Valkyria defending her women's intercontinental championship against Bayley. This was a rematch. If you remember back in February, it was an Elimination Chamber qualifying match. Bayley pinned her. As I recall, I think that was Lyra's first match or first singles match since winning the intercontinental title, which was like a month before. And she got pinned in that match. So this is a rematch from that. Lyra has said that it has been gnawing at her ever since. And she wanted to prove that she can be Bayley, and so here we are. So the two of them were wrestling for control here to kick things off. Lyra got the better of it very briefly. And then Bayley kneed her right in the head. And I mean, it was a wicked knee. Right to Lyra's head. And things looked a little precarious there for a moment, but Lyra was able to bounce back. She was okay. Valkyria worked what Pat McAfee called an Irish swing. And Valkyria went to kick Bayley. Bayley moved and went outside. Lyra landed a drop kick through the ropes. Back inside, she hit a crossbody from the top rope for a two count. After a break, Bayley was working a half crab. And the two of them started trading forearms after she was able to work her way out of it. Bayley hit a neck breaker. Lyra fell to the outside. Bayley followed up with a baseball slide. Lyra, though, moved when Bayley went for a suicide dive. So this ended up with Bayley giving Lyra a belly to Bayley outside on the floor. Both women barely beat the 10 count back in. Inside the ring, Lyra landed her nightwing finish, but Bayley kicked out. She kicked out at 2. Michael Cole sold the fact that Valkyria didn't get all of it, he said. So she lifted Bayley to try for it again. Bayley worked out, landed another stiff knee shot right to her head. Bayley placed Valkyria on top. She went for a superplex. Lyra fought out. Bayley came back with a sunset flip bomb into a corner. Then she went to the apron. And Lyra cut her off, dragged her back into the ring, and she hit a tornado DDT fisherman suplex combo. Got a good near fall out of that. Lyra went to the top. Bayley blocked it. And she worked a Boston Crab. Crowd woke up once they realized that Bayley actually might win this championship here. Yeah, she basically had the walls of Jericho, the lion tamer. She had it locked on. So the fans now were starting to really come alive. Bayley let go of the hold. She set it for a rose plant. And that's when Lyra reversed into a cradle and she got the 3. So after the, basically a flash pin. And so after the match was over, Valkyria went for a handshake. Bayley pushed her away. Poor sport. And she went to go leave, but then she stopped. She had second thoughts, turned around, and she gave Lyra a hug. Well, I would certainly hope so, because these two are going to be tag team partners on Friday on SmackDown, because they're having a tag team gauntlet match, and the winners are going to challenge Liv Morgan and Raquel for the women's tag team titles at WrestleMania. Bayley and Lyra are one of those teams. Based on the graphic they showed on Friday, we have Bayley and Lyra in that match, Caden Carter and Katana Chance, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, Meechan and B-Fab, all right? You want to put money on whether or not they're going to win? Meechan and B-Fab, Piper Niven and Alba Fire, and Natalya and Maxxine Dupri. So, I mean, you look at that lineup, who do you think is going to WrestleMania? Who else is going to WrestleMania here of this bunch to challenge for the tag team titles, if not Bayley and Lyra, right? They've got to be the favorite. But the match itself was actually very good. Started a little slow. It built. The crowd got into it. I thought that this was the best women's intercontinental title match that we have had so far since Lyra won the championship. And some of those knees that Bayley was dishing out to Lyra, man, it's pretty brutal. So this was good. We have people who are coming in late here who may have missed the beginning of the stream, so I may periodically just remind people, but you'll see some of these messages. We lost a good one earlier today, unfortunately. Kev Castle from the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show passed away earlier today. I had a conversation with his brother John earlier, who filled me in, and again, sending my thoughts and prayers and condolences to John, to DT, all the members of the DTKC family, Wrestling Soup, everybody. It's a big loss. It was an unexpected loss, even though his health had been not great lately. But you may see messages popping up on your screen. So if you're not sure, and again, it's going to be a shock to some people who haven't heard. This may be the first that you're hearing of it. It sucks. I wish I didn't have to share that news with you, but it is going around now. So again, I'll be reading all of your messages here in just a little bit. Kathy Kelly was in the back. She was backstage with comedian Bert Kreischer, who, of course, if you see a celebrity on Monday Night Raw, you have to assume that they're either on a Netflix show or they have a Netflix special coming. And so they mentioned he has a Netflix special coming up soon. American Maid walked in here to put over their upcoming match later in the show. Chad Gable was with them. Even though, as he pointed out, he wasn't able to wrestle tonight. I guess he's still under the weather. So taking his place will be Grande Americano. So then Otis showed up. He ripped his shirt off. And then Bert ripped his shirt off. And they posed. And who gives a shit? Elsewhere, Jackie Redmond was in the back. And she interviewed AJ Styles. Mentioned how Logan Paul did a lot of things last week. Yes. He did a lot of things. And she asked AJ where his head was at. Styles said that it's in a good place because he's going to get an opportunity to embarrass Logan Paul at WrestleMania. Karrion Kross showed up. This man, he will not leave AJ alone. Every week he shows up. He's like the little angel or the little devil on his shoulder. So he shows up. He's got Scarlett with him, who never speaks. She's there, but she doesn't do anything. She never has the chance to actually speak or participate in any of these segments. He shows up, asks AJ to explain the situation to him. Cross said that he can't let AJ lose at WrestleMania because if he loses, they all lose. So he wants the other side, the better side of AJ Styles at WrestleMania. And AJ had no idea what he was talking about, but he said, okay, I'll give you a taste of the better AJ Styles in the ring next week. And that match has since been announced for the final Raw before WrestleMania. You know, Kev was a huge Karrion Kross fan. As I know, Kross was a fan, probably still is, of DTKC. And Kevin was a big Karrion Kross fan. If there was anybody in the world who wanted Karrion Kross to get the opportunity to get over in a major way on these shows and try to get to that next level, it was Kevin. That much I can tell you. So I don't know what Triple H has planned for Karrion Kross other than he'll have this match with AJ next week. But like coming out of WrestleMania, is he going to have an actual program? Do they have a real idea in mind for him other than him popping up in random backstage segments? I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. I hope they have something that he could really sink his teeth into because it just feels to me like it's kind of sink or swim for him at this point. But that makes me smile. There was no bigger Karrion Kross fan than Kev Castle. We had a six-man tag with Dragon Lee, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro of the LWO with Rey Mysterio in their corner. They were taking on the Creed Brothers and El Grande Americano, who entered to his mariachi American music, got a big pop here in Chad Gable's hometown. We got a lot of Lucha Libre action here to start, to the point where Michael Cole said, oh, I guess it's a tornado tag team match. That would be kind of weird if we ever got Michael Cole calling a CMLL match. Yeah, Daddy Ugarte. That is very true. This is Kevin Castle. He was old school. He would use a landline phone to host the show or call into his show. He was very old school in that way. That's why I said, you talk about the OGs. He's one of the first names you got to think of. So the LWO, they hit a trio of dives onto their opponents outside. Back inside, the LWO went to separate ropes, top ropes. Heels cut them off, though, landed a series of superplexes. That took us into the commercial break. The show came back. Julius Creed was working over Dragon Lee, and the two of them fought on the second rope. Lee turned things around with a double stomp. Del Toro got the hot tag, and he kept up the momentum until Grande Americano got involved and the crowd popped. And Lee tagged in. He powerbombed Americano. Julius appeared out of nowhere for a shooting star press on Dragon Lee. Meanwhile, they got Joaquin Wilde over here. He launches himself way into the air onto American Made on the outside. He got some distance on that. Wilde followed that up with a corkscrew tornado dive to the floor. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ring, Ivy Nile handed something to Grande Americano as he was leaned up against the rope. She slipped something to him that he slipped underneath his mask, and we couldn't see what it was. Michael Cole was theorizing maybe it was a metal plate of some kind, but whatever it was, whatever the foreign object was, he slipped it underneath his mask. Rey Mysterio is outside on the other side of the ring, and the camera got this great kind of like where you see Grande Americano in the foreground, but then it blurs and you see Rey. It focuses on Rey in the background, and he's got this look on his face like, wait a minute. So he starts marching up the steps. Grande Americano, he ends up on the ropes. Rey went over to go stop him. He got headbutted down to the floor. Dragon Lee intervened on the ropes. He went after Grande Americano, which led to Americano headbutting him as well. Lee fell backwards onto the canvas, and then Americano hit a diving headbutt, complete with the presumed metal plate in his mask. Landed the diving headbutt to Dragon Lee, and he got the win. See, Chad Gable, he finally figured it out. What was the knock on Chad Gable? Chad Gable could not win a match to save his life. And now he finally found a way to win matches. Just don't be Chad Gable. Be anybody but Chad Gable. And now he's finally racking up wins. He finally discovered what was wrong the entire time. So I thought as a match, it was a fun little match. In the back later, Rey Mysterio, he stormed into Adam Pearce's office and he asked for a match, not with Chad Gable. I don't want Chad Gable. I want Grande Americano. And Adam Pearce said, well, the respect that I have for you, if that's what you want, you name the place. Rey said WrestleMania. He goes, consider it oficial. So it is official. Rey Mysterio one-on-one with Grande Americano at WrestleMania. They didn't say that it would be mask versus mask, which I think at some point that's what we're going to get. It kind of feels like we have to build to that. WrestleMania feels like it would be too soon because this guy just debuted, right? He just debuted. Can't take the mask off him now. And they're not taking the mask off Rey. I do think if Rey ever does unmask, it'll be his last match. It'll be his last match, and I think it may be his son that does it. It'll either be his son or another luchador who they sort of anoint as like the next top luchador in the company. I don't know if that would be Dragon Lee. It could be Rey, Phoenix. It could be Penta, somebody like that, right? It's not going to be Grande Americano. So I think what we'll get here is a singles match at WrestleMania. Grande Americano will probably win. And then at Backlash, they could always run it back and they could do mask versus mask. Backlash or even like a month later at some other show. But it'll probably be a match with Rey where he ultimately loses the mask. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Picture it. Monday Night Raw is in town and you're driving to the show when you suddenly get rear-ended. And while it may be the other guy's fault, you're the idiot driving around without any car insurance. It doesn't matter how great of a driver you think you are. With all the crazy people on the road these days, why would you even take the risk? That's what going online is like without ExpressVPN.
You need a VPN because every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, which could be anywhere outside your own home, your online data is not secure. Any hackers on that same network can easily gain access to your personal information and steal your passwords, your bank logins, you name it. It's all right there for the taking. And it doesn't take a lot of know-how to pull it off either. A kid in middle school could do it. Hackers can make a killing on your data, up to $1,000 per person selling it on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from doing so by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it's super secure and it's easy to use. Fire up the app, you click one button to get protected, and that's it. It also works on all of your devices, including phones, laptops, and tablets. And for customers in the United States, ExpressVPN comes with Identity Defender, a new suite of tools to get your data removed from data brokers, alert you when your data is compromised on the dark web, and even insure you against data theft for up to $1 million. There's a reason why ExpressVPN is ranked number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I'm going to be flying out to different places over the next few months, and I'll be doing what I do on every trip that I take, which is making sure that I have ExpressVPN enabled on my phone. That way, I've got peace of mind knowing that I'm protected at all times. At the airport, in my hotel, it doesn't matter. It's that important to me. It's just not worth it to risk my credit card details or email passwords and all the things that would be a gigantic pain in the neck to have to change, let alone run the risk of having that information compromised. Now you don't have to worry about it. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. The world heavyweight champion Gunther walked to the ring. He was wearing a suit. He had a red tie on, all smiles. He was even laughing as he made his way down to the ring. And he took his time. He was walking around ringside. He was posing over by the announce desk. I mean, you talk about stretching and dragging this out for time. So it took forever. Finally, he gets in the ring. And before he could even say a word, Jey Uso's music hits. And they're focusing on the crowd. We don't see him at first, but they're focusing on the crowd. And then we see him. And thankfully, after the angle we had last week where his brother Jimmy got murdered right in front of him, he didn't come out. He wasn't yeeting. You know, he had the yeet shades on. He was wearing all the merch. He was wearing all the gear. But he had a look on his face like he was as serious can be. So he made his way very slowly through the crowd. Again, he took his sweet time. I would say from the moment that Gunther walked out for his entrance up until the point that Jey got in the ring and actually spoke, it felt like a full 10 minutes had gone. Like, no joke. It probably wasn't, but it felt like a full 10 minutes had gone by. More realistically, it was probably like 5 or 6, but like it took forever to finally get to the meat of this segment. But ultimately, he gets in the ring. Jey very slowly pulls off the yeet shades. Gunther is still standing there laughing in his face. And this is the part that kind of got on my nerves. Because what this needed to be was a serious segment. This is not for Gaga, yeet, say yeet after every third word, right? This was an important follow-up to what we saw last week. What we saw last week was a bloodbath. It was Jey Uso watching a member of his family get destroyed, and he was tied to the ropes, helpless and defenseless to do anything about it. And this man took glee. He took glee in it. He laughed in his face. How could this be anything but Jey Uso either coming out this week and destroying him or doing what he did here, which is to come out, be very serious, and pour his heart and soul out and make it very clear to Gunther that he's going to fuck him up at WrestleMania. I don't even mind the fact that they didn't get into a big brawl because I feel like we've had so many of those already. Like, even with these guys, what are you going to do? Like, every week, are you just going to have multiple pull-apart brawls? Like, it bothered me when Cody Rhodes first confronted John Cena 2 weeks after the Elimination Chamber and didn't even make any attempt to lay a finger on him. Like, to me, that was very stupid. But it's like, okay, you can have Gunther and Jey Uso have a pull-apart brawl, but
we need to hear from Jay. He needs to speak to us on a level that we haven't heard him speak to us before. That's what this was. But what annoyed me, he kind of motioned to the crowd not to do the yeet stuff, and they did it anyway. It was very irritating, you know, because he was like, all right, this is time to be serious now. And all they wanted to do was say, you know, fucking yeet every 5 seconds. So Jay asked him, he goes, Gunther, you got a mother? He says, you talk to your mom? What do y'all talk about? Family stuff? She asked you, how's the wife? How's the grandson? Walk the dog? What'd you eat? You know, regular family stuff. I got a mother too, he said. You want to know what me and my mom talked about this week? You want to know what I had to tell her? I had to tell her that her older son is laid up in a hospital bed. Her oldest son got 15 stitches across his forehead. Her oldest son is not only laid up with 15 stitches in his forehead, but you know what she asked me? She said, why didn't you protect him, Joshua? See, we're using shoot names now. He says, as a grown man, I've never lied to my mom, and I'm not going to start now. I told her, I was afraid. I was afraid of you. You had the drop on me, man. You're playing chess, I'm playing checkers. But it wasn't enough for you. You had to get my family involved. So at this point now, he's pacing back and forth. I didn't know if he was trying to make himself cry. You know, he had like a serious look on his face. I don't know if he was trying to get emotional. But now he's, you know, pacing back and forth. He goes, you violated my brother. I must have missed that part of the segment last one. I'm not going to go back and replay that. But he says, you violated my brother. You left him a bloody pulp while I was zip-tied in the ropes. I watched you wipe my brother's blood all over your body. Now I've got his blood on my hands, too. I've never been so mad, so angry, so pissed off, and scared. You made the whole damn world stop. Says, you violated my twin in front of me. Made my heart stop. You know what the crazy thing is, Zeus? In my darkest moment, right here in front of the world, a light bulb went off. Ain't that something? You know what I realized? I'm not afraid of you no more. And the fans cheered. Before WrestleMania, he said, hug and kiss your family. The night before, I'm going to lay my head down and I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray about you, more so for me. And I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me for the man that I am about to become. Because at WrestleMania, I'm going to get you. He says, I'm going to get you for me, for Jimmy, for my whole damn family. And I will take the World Heavyweight Championship. And Michael Cole said that Gunther has lost the upper hand in this rivalry. He said, Gunther forcing Jey Uso to watch last week has changed Jey Uso. This is the Jey Uso that I have been waiting to see. Happy-go-lucky, yeet Jey Uso. We've seen that a lot. That's the Jey Uso that won the Royal Rumble. And that was the Jey Uso we got on TV every week, coming out, doing those, you know, 8-minute-long entrances and standing on top of the announce desk, bouncing up and down with Michael Cole and bouncing up and down with Pat McAfee, and that's all well and good. But when push comes to shove, we are 2 weeks out, less than 2 weeks, away from WrestleMania. That angle last week was exactly what this feud needed. This is for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. It might not be the main event, but it's a World Championship match at WrestleMania. And last week took this to a level that they hadn't gotten it to before. It had to go where they went with it. The follow-up was also very important. The follow-up here was exactly what it needed to be. It was Jey Uso coming out and saying, you were in my head. You had me off my game. I was afraid of you. Now, I don't know about using those words exactly. I was afraid of you. But I assume the idea here is that you were in my head, right? You intimidated me. I was fucking up and botching left and right, and you were here. You were in my head. But then I had this moment of clarity. I had this eureka moment last week. A light bulb went off. I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to beat your ass, and I'm going to take that championship. All this needed to be. And Gunther wasn't smiling when this thing was over. Or at least not as much as he was when he first walked out. But they had to add a new layer to this, and they've done a good job of that over the past week. Yeah, you know, last week's show, tonight's show, we have one more show to go. I don't know if they're going to do a contract signing. I don't know if they're going to do anything. Maybe next week it'll be the week of the video packages. But they have finally gotten this to a place where it feels more like a world championship match than it did even 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, it felt like an undercard title match. It was on the level, no joke, of a U.S. title match, a women's U.S. title match. That's what this felt like. They've been able to elevate it a little bit more. It still doesn't feel like it should be headlining WrestleMania. But it's in a good place now. It's in a better place than it was before. But this was the best Jey Uso promo in forever. Exactly what it needed to be. We had the New Day taking on the War Raiders. This was for the World Tag Team titles. Crowd was completely dead for this. They were stone cold silent for this match. They could not give a shit. And this was a tag team title match. Kingston quickly rolled outside after Ivar got the upper hand. Woods tagged in and teased getting in the ring until Kofi distracted Eric. And from there, Woods and Kingston, they beat Eric down. Eventually, Eric was able to regain control. He body slammed his partner onto Kofi. Woods got thrown outside. He went to go grab a chair. Eric cut him off with a punch. Ivar hits a sit-down splash on Xavier in the corner as they came back from a break. And Eric knees Kofi in the head. And then he delivers a Uranagi to Xavier Woods. Kofi eats a clothesline-assisted German for a two count. Woods brings a chair into the ring. And so he brings it in, but Ivar ends up using it on him. Referee sees this, and he disqualifies the champions, giving the win to the New Day. This didn't even go a full 5 minutes. So Kofi attacks Ivar's neck with the chair. There was a hard chair shot across the back. And then the New Day target Eric. Eric got sent face first into the chair that they wedged in the corner in between the ropes. Ivar got sent into the timekeeper's area. Meanwhile, Woods grabs another chair, and the New Day went to work on Eric's surgically repaired neck. New Day went to hit him with, I think it was their finish, but they had the chair, I think Eric's neck, it was like draped over a chair. They were about to finish this guy off. When you could see all of the officials and the producers, they finally run out to make the save and save this man's life. This sucked. I thought this sucked. It was more of an angle than a match, but as a tag team title match, it sucked. But I assume it was done this way to set up the actual match. This might still happen at WrestleMania, but I think the next match could be Viking Rules. Maybe that's the stipulation. Do they do it at WrestleMania? Do they do it next week? Do they do it on the Monday coming out of WrestleMania? I think that you want to have at least one tag team title match at WrestleMania. You know, on Friday when I was talking about the Motor City Machine Guns becoming number one contenders, I said, okay, well, it's going to be cool that Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are getting their first ever WrestleMania match. They never actually said it would be on the WrestleMania card. So I kind of got a little ahead of myself there. It might be, or it could very easily be on the SmackDown before WrestleMania in Las Vegas. But I think you want to have at least one tag team title match. You have two nights of WrestleMania, right? It's WrestleMania. You have two sets of tag team titles and two shows. You've got to make room for at least one tag team title match. So take your pick. Do you do the Street Profits against the Machine Guns, or do you do the New Day against the Vikings? If it were me, I would do the Street Profits and the Machine Guns if I had to choose one or the other. I just think that'll be a better match. But we'll see if they do Viking Rules or anything like that in the rematch. At this point, we had a Cody Rhodes video package because he was not on the show tonight. They set this to Last of My Kind by Shaboozy, which is actually a pretty good song. And they had highlights of Cody throughout his entire career, right up until the recent stuff with John Cena. Again, neither man on the show tonight. We have one more Raw to go. John Cena is not scheduled for any more shows until we get to WrestleMania. It doesn't mean he can't show up next week as a surprise and attack Cody and get the last word on him going into the show. But it's not looking likely at this point. Cody will have to be on the show next week because he wasn't here tonight. You got to have at least one of them on the show. It's pretty clear we're not going to get The Rock until WrestleMania, if even then. I would be surprised if he's not at WrestleMania. I mean, we have not heard from him or seen him at all since Toronto. But you got to get him on the WrestleMania card, at least to take a stunner. He's got to take a stunner from Stone Cold. You got to have The Rock on the Mania card. I mean, come on. Austin's, he's literally there. He's going to be there. He's going to be at the World. He's going to be doing signings all weekend. He's going into the Hall of Fame. His match is going into the Hall of Fame. They always trot the Hall of Famers out there during WrestleMania. He will be there. We had Penta. One-on-one against Dominic Mysterio. Dom had control here early. Penta came back with a backbreaker and something resembling a sling blade. Penta went to the top. He landed a crossbody onto Dom and Carlito on the outside. The show went to commercial. They came back and Penta jumped into a kick from Dom, who then landed the Three Amigos only for a two count. He drop kicked Penta. He set up for a 619. Instead, though, he ran into a super kick. Penta landed the double stomp onto Dom in the corner. Dominic, though, got the shoulder up at the two count on the pin attempt. Penta went for his finish. Dom countered and hit a destroyer of his own. And Dom hit the 619. He went for a frog splash. Penta got his knees up, so that killed Dom's momentum. Penta tried for a pin. Dom got out of it. He went for a clothesline. Penta, though, took him down and hit the sacrifice arm breaker, snaps the arm, and then follows with the Penta driver for the win. Now, after the match, Carlito attacks Penta. Honestly, this right here, this was the best part of the entire show. And it involved Carlito, of all people. So Carlito gets in the ring, and he told Dom earlier in the show, don't worry, I got your back. Right? I got your back tonight. He attacks Braun Breaker. Or, I'm sorry, he attacks Penta. Braun Breaker's music hits, and the Intercontinental Champion very slowly makes his way out. And then he charges down the aisle. And just saying that he speared Carlito, honestly, it doesn't even do this justice. He annihilated this man. Like, just, it was beautiful. He fucking destroyed him with this spear. Basically, he launched himself through the air. It was a leaping, launching spear. Like a literal missile out of the air. And he took Carlito down on the floor. Braun went in the ring. He did the same thing to Dom, although it wasn't as cool. Finally, he completed the trifecta by spearing Penta. Finn Balor showed up from out of nowhere. He took out Breaker. Balor picked up the Intercontinental title. He held it high. Braun went to go spear him, but he ducked out of the ring. Seriously, no joke. That spear here to Carlito in this segment is one of the best I've ever seen. I'm not saying it's the best. It is one of the best that I have ever seen. Like, there's a reason why I have said in the past, even when he was in NXT, like, he is the spirit, when it comes to the spear at least, he is the spiritual successor to Bill Goldberg. Because the great thing about Goldberg, and yes, I am going to say something nice about Goldberg, the great thing about Goldberg in his younger days, when he was, you know, the hot attraction in WCW, he had the streak, he was the hot thing, people would go nuts for him. He would hit that spear. He had an explosiveness to him that I really haven't seen in very many people since then. I see it in Braun Breaker. I saw it in NXT. He still has it on the main roster. There is nobody else on the roster, developmental or main roster, who has that kind of explosiveness that Braun Breaker has. So it's very appropriate that he uses the spear as one of his moves, because very few people do the spear and it looks good. Everybody does a spear. Very few people do it where it looks like, holy shit, he just killed that guy, right? When Roman Reigns does it, when fucking Adam Copeland does it, or anybody else. Like, that's not what I'm thinking. When Braun Breaker does it, that's a different story. So it just looked fantastic. And again, the four-way at WrestleMania, it's the predictable route, but this is what they have been teasing as far as tension within the Judgment Day now. I can't even say for several weeks, really for the last few months. I don't want to say it's anybody's ball game, because I don't see Balor winning at WrestleMania, but any of the other three have a shot. Not ready to make a prediction just yet. But I would say that don't count Dominic out as possibly winning that title. Now, during the commercial break, which you may or may not have seen, American Made walked back out on stage led by Chad Gable. And he apologized for not being in action earlier, but he said the fans got to see the fastest rising star in WWE, Grande Americano. So I guess they got their money's worth. And it's going to be his pleasure to watch Rey Mysterio get put down by the greatest luchador in WWE history. As he's speaking, Paul Heyman walks out, walks right past American Maid, and he looks back at Gable. He had this disgusted look on his face. And that led into the closing segment on the show, which was Paul Heyman in the ring for a promo. And he said he wanted to make something very clear. He will always be loyal to his tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Item number two, he will always be loyal to his best friend in the world, CM Punk. And just because he's loyal to both of them doesn't mean that he will ever be disloyal to either of them. So when it comes to WrestleMania, let's get one thing perfectly clear. And before he can get the next word out, he was interrupted by Seth Rollins. And he danced his way down to the ring, still laughing. Last time we saw him on Friday, he was laughing. He was laughing all this like favor nonsense and the drama with Roman and Heyman and Punk. And, you know, Rollins was just kind of laying back in the corner laughing his ass off. So he's still laughing here. And he called himself a visionary. He called himself a revolutionary. I'm still waiting to find out exactly what makes him either of those things. He's certainly not a fashion plate. But tonight, he said, it's not about me. Tonight, it's about Paul Heyman. Heyman's out here talking about loyalty, and he wanted to ask him the question on everybody's mind. Said, Paul Heyman, whose side are you on? Are you going to be the very best friend to CM Punk? Or are you going to be the wise man to Roman Reigns? He said Heyman can't do both at the same time. And it occurred to him over the past week, Heyman is neither. He said Roman Reigns doesn't give a damn about Heyman. He uses him to shine his shoes, to book his private jets, to order his steaks, to hand him the Ula Fala. That's what Roman Reigns needs him for. Roman Reigns does not respect him. You need a history lesson? He said WrestleMania last year. Roman Reigns loses the WWE Championship, and Roman does what Roman does best. He disappears. And he left Paul Heyman in the caring arms of Solo Sikoa and Solo's bloodline. And did they treat you well, Paul? No, every single day they treated him like he was the scum of the earth. And people wondered, is Roman going to come to the rescue of Paul Heyman? And Heyman, at this point, shook his head no. Seth said Roman left him to get massacred in his hometown in front of Paul's children. Jacob and Azalea, they had to watch their father get put through a table because Roman Reigns doesn't care about him. You know who else doesn't care about you? Your best friend, CM Punk. Best friends are there for each other. They don't use each other when it's convenient. 10 years ago, CM Punk walked out on all the fans, and he walked out on Paul Heyman as well. Did he take Paul with him? No. He tried to tear down everything that Paul was building here. And when he came back, did he embrace you and take you with him on this ride? Nope. You guys love to romanticize about war games. Rollins reminds him that CM Punk was not the first choice to be on the Bloodlines team, or Roman's Bloodline team. In war games, he was. He said, stop me when I'm telling lies. Paul, I was. I declined. CM Punk wasn't the first choice. He was the last choice. He was the only choice. And did he join Team Roman because he loved Paul Heyman out of the goodness of his heart? Is that why he joined? He goes, no. He did it because he knew he could use it to get a favor out of you. CM Punk is not your best friend. He loves no one but himself. Rollins said, I got to be honest. I feel bad for you. Says he feels bad for Heyman. He's in a very difficult position. He's between a rock and a hard place. The easiest solution for everybody involved would be to have Heyman just remove himself from the situation and just let the three of them go out there at WrestleMania and battle it out for the soul of this industry. Again with the soul. We're back to talking about souls. He says Heyman won't do that, though. If only there was a solution that they could remove him from the situation. says, Paul, and now he's walking over to Heyman because he's been circling him this entire time. And so now he walks over to Heyman. He goes, Paul, it's for your own good. I would take it as a privilege to remove you from the situation right here, right now. It'll be quick. A boot to the back of the head and one quick stomp, and it's all over, man. Nobody's here to save you. Roman Reigns isn't here to save you. CM Punk, what's that thing he likes to say? He's not here to make friends. He's here to make money. So my question to you, Paul, is how much are you worth? Says, are you worth that much? And he poked him in the chest. Then he gave him a soft slap across the face. Then he started shoving him, and Heyman got mad and got up in his face, and Heyman told him, don't you put your damn hands on me again. And he threw his mic down. Rollins said, thank you. And he backed Heyman into the corner like he was getting ready to kick his ass. And at that point, we finally hear Cult of Personality. And out comes CM Punk. Now, here's my question here. Even like, just like in kayfabe, right? In storyline. CM Punk is supposed to be Paul Heyman's best friend, right? So what are we supposed to think here? What are we supposed to think? Like, where was CM Punk this entire time? Was he just standing there at the gorilla position, just waiting for somebody to hit his music? Paul Heyman is about to get destroyed. What if they didn't play his music? He might still be standing there right now. Because he came out right away. As soon as they hit the music, here he comes. It's the stupidest thing. It is just the stupidest thing. But here he comes now. He attacks Rollins. They fight out to the floor, like in the ring and then out to the floor. He got Rollins face down on the flat part of the ring steps. And he measured him. He was going to give him a stomp. But before he could do it, Rollins, he got back up. He rolled into the ring. Punk slides into the ring, but as he slides in, he got stomped by Rollins. So now Heyman drops down to his knees. And he's crouched over CM Punk, and he's crying, and he's checking on his best friend. And Rollins sees this. And so he begins to measure. He's in the corner, and he's kind of measuring Heyman for a stomp. And he could have done it. You know, he came charging in, but instead of stomping him, he stomped the mat instead. And Heyman looked up at him, and he crouched down. He leaned down right in front of Heyman, and he told him, now you owe me a favor. And that is how they went off the air. Rollins left the ring, and that is how Raw ended. The first thing I'll say about this did not have the kind of heat that you would think it would have. CM Punk, one of the biggest stars in the entire company, Seth Rollins, also one of the biggest stars in the entire company. Here they are brawling less than 2 weeks before their main event match at WrestleMania. Right? Everybody loves Punk. And the crowd was pretty quiet. Crowd was nonplussed about the whole thing here at the end. That was very noticeable. What is this set up? What this sets up now, I think even more so, is a win for Seth Rollins. I mean, that's, as I sit here today, less than 2 weeks out from WrestleMania, if you ask me, put me on the spot, who do you think's going over in this match? This feels like it's Seth Rollins' match to lose. Because Roman and Punk, they just sort of cancel each other out. They're going to be pulling Paul Heyman in opposite directions. This man is not Gumby, okay? He can only go one way or the other. He can't be in two places at the same time. He can't help Roman Reigns and in the same match help CM Punk. Or if he does, right, it's going to blow up in his face. And Seth Rollins will be there to take advantage. He'll be there to pick the bones. He'll be there to capitalize on the opportunity. It doesn't have to be a situation where Paul Heyman turns on both of them and leaves, you know, with Seth Rollins. I don't think WrestleMania ends with Seth Rollins now has his wise man. I don't think that's where it's going, but I do think that Seth Rollins is well positioned to probably pick up the win in that match. So what did they do tonight here? First of all, as far as like the build to WrestleMania, Roman Reigns is going to be on the show next week. They did announce that. They didn't announce too much more than that. They did announce AJ against Karrion Kross. Roman will be on the show next week. That's the final Raw before WrestleMania. I certainly hope it is more exciting than this episode, because on the whole, I thought this was about as dull as they come here on this build to Mania. They did confirm two new matches. The women's triple threat match is now confirmed. Rey Mysterio is going to wrestle Grande Americano, And we're still waiting to find out when that next New Day match is going to be with the War Raiders. Outside of that, there isn't much else to talk about. It was a pretty nothing show. Like I said at the top, it was a show that happened. That was Raw. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Guys, there are a lot of things that you can do in 3 to 6 months. Maybe you want to take acting lessons. In 3 to 6 months, though, you're probably not going to be all that good. You could hit the weights at the gym, try to bulk up, and still not make a dent in your physique, especially if your diet doesn't change. You could decide you want to train to become a pro wrestler. Unless you're Kurt Angle, you're probably not going to be that good in 3 to 6 months. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Call it the Hims effect. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. Hims makes the process simple and convenient, and it's 100% online. So there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. You don't need to have a panic attack sitting in some waiting room. This eliminates all of that stress. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is then sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll here. 70% thumbs up score for tonight's Raw episode from Minneapolis. 20.5% thumbs in the middle. 9.5% thumbs down. You can vote in the poll on X. @Solomonster is the place to go. Let's get into your messages here. I do appreciate all the support over the last 24 hours. And we had a very late night last night. Way too late. But those of you who stayed up with me for the Dynasty review, God bless you. But I thank you for that. Kick things off here with honey deep fried chicken. How about that? Actually, Chris O'Neill. Chris, thank you for the 5. Very much appreciated. Honey deep fried chicken says WWE should book a mixed tag team match of AJ Styles and Tiffany Stratton against Logan Paul and Charlotte Flair before WrestleMania. They're not going to do that. We're going to get AJ Styles next week against Karrion Kross, who actually has nothing to do with WrestleMania. Karrion Kross is not even on the WrestleMania show. But that is the match that we are getting next week. Hey, Chris, welcome to the channel, brother. Happy to have you. He also says, Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair program is like eating pancakes without any butter or syrup. Pancakes are good. You got to have some powdered sugar on there, too. And Tony Khan booking John Moxley's AEW World title matches lately is like heating up popcorn way too long in the microwave. Yeah, I really don't want to talk about those guys. Io, Bianca, and Rhea triple threat match of Mania is like having a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. Io is the eggs, Bianca the cheese, Rhea is the bacon. Thank you very much, Honey Deep Fried, always with the food on his mind. Death Scythe. I hope sometime after WrestleMania we get heel Orton, who terrorized Triple H and the McMahons. He
finger Jeff Hardy's earlobe and twisted it with a screwdriver and bent Sean Spears' finger and with the ring rope tensioners to feud with Cody. I don't know. I feel like he's mellowed out as he's gotten older. I don't know if we're going to get that version of Orton or not. Right now, I would rather see babyface Orton against heel Cena. But if, you know, we get Cody and Orton at some point, I do think it should be heel Orton against babyface Cody. Prince Vegeta, CM Punk is one of my all-time favorites, but it feels like him getting a WrestleMania main event is kind of forced. I mean, it's a bare-ass triple threat. No, it's not. You've got Paul Heyman as the, he's like the Miss Elizabeth of this match. Like when Hogan and Savage went into WrestleMania. Yes, it was for the WWF Championship, but it's really about Elizabeth, right? So now we have our Elizabeth. Paul Heyman is our Miss Elizabeth now, going into this WrestleMania match. As horrifying as that is. Basically what we have here. Deep Fried Chicken says, Roman Rollins and Punk is like having steak and mashed potatoes with gravy. Reigns is the steak, Rollins is the potatoes, and Punk is the gravy. Very good. Yeah, you keep saying this, you're going to get me hungry. Dupps Vids, you get a favor, you get a favor, you get a favor. Paul is the Oprah Winfrey of favors. When do I get my favor? I could use a favor. The Seanathon says, RIP Kevin Castle. Thank you for years giving us wrestling fans your input into the world of pro wrestling. Many, many years. Many, many years. Kev has, I don't even know how many shows he would have been a part of. I don't know the exact number, but it has been quite a few. And there have been a lot of people that have, you know, listened to him and listened to his content over these many years, who I think also have probably in many ways grown up listening to him. You know, him and DT. Listening to him, learning from him. Again, he's a little bit older, so his wrestling fandom goes back a little bit earlier than even mine does. And so it was always fun, you know, we had conversations and he would drop in an Al Perez reference. If you're a Kev Castle guy, you know all about the Al Perez mentions on the shows, and that would always make me smile. Al Perez, who bears a very striking resemblance, by the way, to Seth Rollins. I'm not sure the two weren't separated at birth, if we're being honest. But well said, Seanathon. Thank you. Joseph Stewart says, RIP Kevin Castle, praying for his family, friends, and Don Tony. I'm sorry for your loss. Be praying for them as well. Joseph, thank you for the kind words. Paul Carpenter, thank you for 24 months from channel membership. I appreciate it. David Thiering with the 50 from the beginning of the night. Says RIP Kevin Castle. Starting earlier this year, I tried to catch as much as I could of DTKC online. It's a damn shame that Castle won't be around any longer, and I am sad. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are very sad and very shocked by this news. It's not something that you ever expect. You know, everybody wants to live a nice, long, healthy life. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. But when it hits home, when it hits close to home like this, it makes you think about your own mortality or your own health issues or whatever may be going on in your life. But it just stops you cold in your tracks. That's what happened to me earlier when I first heard the news. Nick Grasso, RIP Kevin Castle, love and prayers to Don Tony, his brother John Draper, and the rest of his family and friends. Thank you, Nick.
EJ Slemp, you always said during those dark WWE days from a few years ago, you only still watched because of the podcast. Do you feel that way about AEW now? No comment. Joseph Stewart, what are your top five Raven matches in WCW? Well, the Goldberg match for the U.S. title would be one. He had a match with DDP, and I don't remember when it was. It might have actually been the night before. Spring Stampede, maybe? I remember that one being pretty good. Beyond that, I don't have any other favorite Raven WCW matches. None that stand out to me. EJ says, wish me luck. I have a job interview with one of the top golf equipment companies in the world tomorrow. Well, EJ, I'm wishing you all the luck in the world. I hope it all works out, man. I don't know how many people are competing for that spot, but I'm sure you're going to kick their asses. Good luck, brother. Keep me posted on how that goes. Joseph says, buy or sell. Chris O'Donnell as Robin, or Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl. I like Chris O'Donnell as Robin. Alex says, deepest condolences to you and Kevin's family and friends. Much love, everybody, and stay strong. Alex, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Boston, thank you for the 1999. Been a fan of your work since the TV Tracks days. As you mentioned, Don Tony and Kevin Castle was also on there. It was cool having different perspectives on wrestling in a central place. OG wrestling podcaster, RIP Kev Castle. Well said. Yeah, we again, TV Tracks was a YouTuber who reached out to, you know, some of the top shows and asked for permission. Is it okay if we sort of curate some of your content? He had tens, it wasn't hundreds of thousands, he had tens of thousands of subs, more than I had at the time. And I said, sure, he's a huge fan of the show. And it was primarily Solid Monster Sounds Off, DTKC. There was some wrestling soup towards the end. He was also posting good mic work, Greg's show, his clips. And it was just a kind of a central place where people who may not have been familiar with those other shows, maybe you watched or listened to DTKC, but not me, or you knew who Solid Monster was, but you didn't know who Good Mic Work was. And there were a lot of people through TV Tracks who became familiar with all of those shows and my show, you know, and still to this day will listen to and watch my shows, who say, hey, I started with TV Tracks in like 2013, you know, but you heard Kev's voice. You know, with DT, you heard my voice, and we were always kind of lumped together because I feel like people thought we were uploading the clips to that channel. And I would always have to reach out to people and say, oh, it's not me. I have no control over it. But yeah, Kev's voice was all over there. My voice was all over there. And it was good times. It was good times. Alex says, for a second, I thought that they were at the Performance Center for today's episode. Other than the J segment and the main event, the crowd was awful. Crowd was awful, or the show is awful? Maybe a little bit of both. Arabian Night, no heel Cena still in the U.S. Like New Day, this turn has failed because of lack of weekly follow-through. His schedule ruined the build. Triple H should know not to rely on part-timers for big builds now. No, he won't learn. Because he's still a big star, and you know they're all about chasing that moment. And they got a huge moment there with Cena. So I don't think they care. I mean, I think if they feel like they can get that moment, they'll do the moment. And if they can't be on TV every week, they don't care. But yeah, I mean, what should have been and could have been like a really fun follow through on this has been very lackluster. Very, very lackluster. Hey, RDS, thank you, man. Good to have you, Harry. Good to have you with us tonight. Oz and Glorious. F. Tony Hinchcliffe. F. that fan who did the sign behind him. And F. the Fed. Much love, Solo. Hey, George. George Davis II is with us. Welcome, George, and thank you, Oz. The wonderful wizard himself. 585 FinFan. Rank these three Reign of Terrors. Jared NWA TNA 02-03. Triple H Raw 02-04. Moxley AEW 24-25. Triple H's Reign of Terror was the worst. I'm surprised you didn't put Roman in there. There are some people who said the Roman Reign of Terror. Yeah, I mean, Triple H is number one. You know, the Jarrett so-called, you know, Reign of Terror in NWA TNA, I wasn't watching it week to week. Like, I was aware of what was going on. I saw some of the big pay-per-view matches, but I wasn't watching week to week like I, watched Triple H on Raw or like Moxley on Dynamite. So Moxley would be number two, Jarrett would be number three, just because I didn't suffer through it the same way. MGM Ballin says, Kathy Kelly, man. I noticed. It was very cold in Minneapolis tonight. Get in the Van has renewed their channel membership. I will not get in the van because I learned from a very young age that if a stranger comes up to you and says, get in the van, you don't get in the van. Stranger danger. You run. And you go find a teacher or a police officer or a hitman or somebody. MGM Ballin, thank you for the 9 months of channel membership. Says, rest in peace, Kevin Castle. A lot of love for Kev tonight. I'm very glad to see that. Dark Effect, gifted 5 channel memberships. Dark Effect, thank you, brother. And welcome to our 5 new members. Bobby's World. Shout out to my girlfriend, Kate, whose birthday it will probably be by the time you read this. She's a wrestling fan sometimes, but when something big happens, she always wants to hear what Solo thinks. Did she stay up late last night for the Dynasty review? I hope not. Well, I want to wish Kate a very, very happy birthday. Don't watch Dynasty, or at least not that main event. Do yourself a favor. Do not spend 1 second of your birthday watching anything with Jon Moxley or the Death Riders in it. But I hope you have a very great birthday. I won't ask you how old you are because it's impolite to ask a lady how old she is. But thank you, Bobby. Prince Vegeta. I think the most pushed star of the Triple H era has been Rhea Ripley. Shows in the booking. If Vince was still here, she wouldn't be as protected. Do you agree? I mean, she was doing pretty well. I feel like even before Vince really fully stepped aside, Charlotte would always be protected no matter what. I don't know if I agree. I think Rhea would have been pretty protected. But Prince Vegeta, thank you. Duff's Vids. The $1.99. What do you call a sad coffee? A depresso. We have Honey Deep Fried Chicken. To honor the end of March Madness, shout out to that North Carolina Tar Heel fan at AW Dynasty for throwing shades at Duke. A heelish move. Duff's Vids, what do you call a naughty lamb dressed as a skeleton? Bad to the bone. Yeah. I don't know about that one. The coffee one may have been better. Joseph says, I was gobsmacked last night. It felt like a joke. It is a joke. Insecure Skeletor. In your Borga Dark Side of the Ring review about his SS tat and how WWE didn't notice, kids being traumatized and all when you had the Blue Brothers and Harris Brothers with the SS tattooed on their arms in plain sight. You know, I forgot all about them. I don't remember where they had the tattoos, but you're probably right. They probably were in plain sight. Jeremy Rose, Mysterio Grande Americano needs to be mask versus mask. We know it's Chad, so just make the stipulation. Also, the women's trio should be a ladder match. No, you could save mask versus mask for Backlash. Can't Gable have a win at WrestleMania? If it's mask versus mask, he's losing. Can we let the man win a WrestleMania match for once? This is going to be his first singles match at WrestleMania. And by the way, he's not even wrestling as himself. His first singles match at WrestleMania, he's wrestling as a completely different character. But can we at least let him have a win? And then you can run it back and do mask versus mask? Duff's Vids, what did Mario say when he broke up with Princess Peach? It's not you, it's a me. Mario. I like that one. That was good. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett. I'm glad I wasn't the only one annoyed with the fans on the serious anger with Jay and the Yeet as well as Pat. Also, just couldn't allow the moment. Yeah, well, I mean, Pat's just as annoying as they are. RDS Harry says, RIP Kevin Castle, he will truly be missed. That's very well said, Harry. Number one, Homo sapien. Why don't they play poker in the jungle? Too many cheetahs. I like that one, too. I like that one, and I like the Mario one. Tyler Robinson, Seth aligning with Heyman doesn't interest me. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't interest me either. We have Manboy X. We've technically never heard the words from Cena saying that he sold his soul. I'm thinking there is still a soul on the table to take. Well, I mean, I could buy that more than I can this theory that there's a third man. You know, to have a third man, there has to be a second man. And we haven't seen the second man since the beginning of March. So there will be no third man. Tonga Loa superfan with a $20 super chat. Was Tonga Loa getting injured a blessing in disguise as it forced wrestlers like Roman, Cody, and Punk to step up? Loa has many great positives, but maybe his biggest flaw is that he sucks too much oxygen from the fans when he's out there. See, as I was reading that super chat, I thought you were about to tell the truth, and the sentence just kept going. Tyler Robinson says, forget Swerve, we need MJF as champion by the end of the year. Whatever. I don't really care. That Joe guy with the 10. Sad to hear the news of Kev Castle. I stumbled upon your content through DTKC show on YouTube. I am about the same age as Kevin, so this does remind me of my own mortality. Rest in peace, Kevin Castle. You just make sure that you guys take care of yourselves, because you just never know. Silver Dollar 1989. Bessie the Cow and Gumby reference in 24 hours. Wild. Well, we also had Insecure Skeletor here a moment ago. You know, I mentioned Gumby. I didn't mention Pokey. Duff's Vids. What did the drummer call his twin daughters? And a one and a two. You know, I heard that joke on TNT last week. I don't know if it was from you or from Sidro. Are you reusing jokes? Are you recycling jokes now? It's a pretty good one, but I know for a fact I heard this one last week. And Honey Deep Fried Chicken says, How did the Burger King get Dairy Queen pregnant? He forgot to wrap his Whopper. You always got to make sure you wrap up your Whopper. Otherwise, bad things happen. Arabian Night, the WrestleMania build, almost as bad as the Death Riders story.
Well, I mean, let's not get carried away now. I mean, it's not what it should be, but I mean, let's not blow this over too much.
And David says, don't forget Reborn Bladder. I mean, Reborn Blader. Yeah, Reborn Bladder was quite the moment last night. Was it last night? It was last night, right? I don't even know what day of the week it is. I think it was last night. But what was it, like 2:30 in the morning probably? I was delirious at that point. My bladder was calling me. It was time to wrap up. Well, thank you guys for the support. We are currently sitting at 614 likes. So I do believe that I owe you guys a Be the Booker. So let's go ahead and do that now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Yeah, David actually has a good point. Says technically it was this morning. You are correct. It was this morning. Well, I mean, it's after midnight, so technically now it's Tuesday. All right, let's see what we got here. We have MVP and Matt Hardy, the former SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They had a, I remember that being a good program they had together. MVP and Matt Hardy against the Dream Team of Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake. I can get behind that. Interesting match. On the women's side, Mommy is Mad. Pick a stipulation to make her happy. Well, what Mommy wants, Mommy gets. All right. Stipulation here for the ladies' match. A hair match. Why do we always land on hair match with the women? Rarely, if ever, do we land on this with the men. Natalia is going to be on one side, and on the other side in this hair match is Rosa Mendez. Now, don't lie. You could hear the buzz in your ear before I even hit the button, right? You knew that was coming. Looks like Rosa is going bald. Looks like she's losing her hair. And finally, our main event of the evening. And kicking us off here in this main event, as we allow this thing to spin and spin and spin, Matt Hardy, for the second time here in Be the Booker. This time it is Broken Matt. Actually, this is Woken Matt. This is WWE Matt. Woken Matt Hardy. Not as good. It's like the Timu version of Broken Matt Hardy. Woken Matt. Against Ryback. You ever notice how Ryback, he's got me blocked. I think he's got half the world blocked, but whenever I see quotes from Ryback or clips or comments from Ryback, which isn't very often, he's always talking about, like, he's still doing Feed Me More. He's talking about hungry, hashtag hungry. The guy has been retired. He's been home for like 11 or 12 years now. He's had all the time in the world to do nothing but sit around and eat. Why is this fucking guy still so hungry? I don't want him in my main event. This was a terrible edition of Be the Booker. And we had a horrible sweep earlier this morning when we did Be the Booker. That was maybe the worst version I've done in months. And then we follow it up with this garbage. Cameron Spencer. Before Vince got in trouble, I wanted to see him face Shane in a retirement WrestleMania match. That's interesting. Would you have been down for that? Absolutely not.
Did you see Vince McMahon in the ring the last time we saw him at WrestleMania 38? I mean, he looked like a ghoul. Shane got in the ring, did a leapfrog, and he tore his knee out. They had a much better match than they had any right having at WrestleMania 17. I'd rather remember them in the ring that way. And that was over 20 years ago. I have no interest in seeing that. Mark Kwan says, I LOL every time Rosa comes up. Yeah, she's still in there. Creflo, with all this food talk, Tiffany Stratton is the cookout and Charlotte is potato salad with raisins in it. Honey deep fried chicken. One of these days, WWE will recreate the Taylor Armstrong cat meme from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, is that what that's from? I've seen that for years. I just never knew where. I know, with the woman pointing and yelling, yeah, and then the cat. I never knew where that was from. And Devin from NJ2000. My brother from another mother thinks that Heyman's phone case being red is a sign that he will end up with Punk or Rollins on Raw after WrestleMania. Does Solo agree? No. No, he does not. Thank you guys for keeping me company here live on YouTube on a Monday night. This was a tough night getting the news about Kevin Castle earlier this evening. Again, if you're tuning in late, for those who don't know, I mentioned it when I opened the stream tonight. One of our fellow content creators and podcasters in the community, somebody who has been doing this for even longer than I have, very long time, and has many fans and listeners all over the world. Kevin Castle passed away earlier today. He had had some health issues recently, and I'll leave it at that, but it was unexpected. It was shocking. I spoke to his brother, John, earlier this evening, had a conversation with him, and, he's doing well. He's doing as well as can be expected right now, obviously letting people know what happened. And my thoughts and prayers and condolences are with him and his entire family, and his mother, as well as Don Tony, who, of course, has done countless shows with Kev over the years. They were an institution in many ways, and I just can't imagine what he's going through right now. You know, I know they had gotten away from doing shows together for a while, and in the last couple of years they had come back together to kind of bring back the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, and I'm actually very happy they did that, especially in retrospect. So again, my thoughts are with him and all of Kevin's friends and family members, fans of his work, will live on. I mean, again, there's countless shows out there, and yeah, I'm sure that there will be a lot of remembrances and a lot of memories shared. My memories with him and my interactions with him were always positive. He was always so nice to me. He was a fan of my work. I was a fan of his work. We had a great respect for each other. And I would have loved to have had the chance to actually hang out with him, you know, more often. He was always very busy with what he was doing. But again, in all of our interactions, he was nothing but kind, nothing but just, you know, kind of just a fun guy. Guy from Brooklyn. I mean, you know, again, both fans of the same baseball team, shared some of the same interests. And the world is a darker place now. I really don't know what else to say beyond that right now, because it is still so fresh, but I definitely wanted to make sure I mentioned that at the top of the show, because there are still people who are finding out and will probably be finding out for the remainder of the week. So again, my condolences to his family and friends. Honey deep fried chicken, thank you for the five. I appreciate it. I'll get to you in a second. Slipper House Extra, been a fan of all you guys for a very long time. Rest in peace, Kevin Castle. And to try to lighten the mood a little bit here, Honey Deep Fried Chicken says, what is a hot dog
use for protection? Condiments. I should have seen that one coming, and yet I still didn't. Yeah, Daddy Ugarte, I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to, but there was a WrestleMania a number of years ago, and I don't remember which one it was. It was one of the WrestleManias I went to. It might have been 31. It might have been back in 2015. And I called into their show. They were doing a post show that night. Called in, and you know, I wasn't there for the whole show, but you know, they invited me to come on. I said, sure, as I'm leaving the stadium. Like, I'm literally walking down the stairs and leaving the stadium, and I'm calling in, and you know, we all had a good time just, you know, interacting that night. It's good times. All right, the next time I'm going to be live with you here on this channel will be Wednesday night after Dynamite, and again on Friday after SmackDown. I'll be with JD on his channel for Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow night. That is where you can find me. And make sure that you tell the people in your life that you love them, especially if you haven't seen them or spoken to them in a while. You know, it's times like this that just make you appreciate what you have and remind you that it's probably a good thing to check in on the people that are important to you if you haven't spoken with them in a while. And Kev Castle, we love you, brother. Rest in peace.